saga of Moses' struggle with Pharaoh continues. Afterward, Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go, so that they may celebrate a festival to me in the wilderness." But Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should heed him and let Israel go? I don't know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go." Then they said, "The God of the Hebrews has revealed himself to us. Let us go a 3 days' journey into the wilderness to sacrifice to the Lord our God, or he will fall upon us with pestilence and sword." But the king of Egypt said to them, "Moses and Aaron, why are you taking the people away from their work? Get to your labors." Pharaoh continued, "Now they are more numerous than the people of the land, and yet you want them to stop working?" That same day, Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters of the people, as well as their supervisors, "You shall no longer give the people straw to make bricks, as before. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. But you shall require of them the same quantity of bricks as they have made previously. Do not diminish it, for they are lazy. That is why they cry, 'Let us go and offer sacrifice to our God.' Let heavier work be laid on them. Then they will labor at it and pay no attention to deceptive words."
Reading from the letter of the Ephesians. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand on the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly, as I must speak. Thanks be to God for those readings from his word. Amen.
Thank you. We join in prayer. Lord, we give you this time. May what is spoken ring with truth. May what is heard and understood be touched by your Spirit. And may what is decided lead us on toward your kingdom. For Christ's sake. Amen. You know the spiritual. Go down, Moses, way down in Egypt's land. Tell old Pharaoh, let my people go. Have you seen the cartoon? A big company chief executive officer on the phone. Have your people call my people or tweet them at hashtag let my people go. Old Egypt is deeply rooted in our imaginations, isn't it? Thanks to Cecil B. DeMille and the like. Great pyramids built on the backs of thousands of slaves, chariots everywhere, Pharaoh master of all he surveys. You can get a very good picture of it, apparently, in the new museum that's opened in Cairo. Just that if you go to visit, don't take too many headache tablets. Moses, trembling, weak-voiced, lily-livered, then filled with vim from God, raising himself up to his full height, Charlton Heston style, in front of Pharaoh, minions scraping, palms waving, Aaron by his side, let my people go. Moses' story has inspired so many. Slaves in the southern United States, the founding fathers of the United States, the later part of the story, certainly. There's a statue of Moses in the Library of Congress in Washington. Moses' story has been important in the story of oppressed, enslaved, captive peoples all over. Martin Luther King was known as a modern-day Moses. Let my people go. This first part of the story is about speaking the truth to power, standing up to the authorities. Pharaoh, Yul Brynner. Do you imagine him? Bald head, enigmatic face, lording it over his people, a Robert Mugabe, a Kim Jong-un, a Stalin, an Assad, all rolled into one. Moses. Who's he like? Just before, at the burning bush, Lord, please send someone else to do it. I've never been eloquent. I am slow of speech and tongue. Like us? Recently, I was in a meeting with Peter Hatton, the Old Testament tutor at the Baptist College, who was bemoaning, as he saw it, the lack these days of a challenge from the pulpit for anyone to go into the ministry. I confess it's not something I've done very much of over the years, but here goes. Well, sort of. Lord, please send someone else. It's the normal human response, isn't it? Not me. I couldn't do that. Send someone else to help with coffee shop or Christmas through the keyhole or Bristol Church's winter night shelter. time at Tyndale, the forthcoming anniversary events, Women's World Day of Prayer, the local community residence group, the local charity fundraisers, the Baptist Missionary Society, look on the boards, the ministry. They often say, don't they, that the best presidents, prime ministers, politicians, priests, for that matter, are the ones who don't really want the jobs. The worst ones are the ones who really do want the jobs. Humility, I suppose. Self-awareness. Moses went in the end, according to the story, with Aaron, went back to the very place of all his fears, went back to Egypt. I said the other week that you can't go back. Well, you can't really. But maybe you can, maybe you should go back to the fears you thought you had left behind. Somebody on Radio 4 Thought for the Day this week was talking about forgiveness. They said how forgiveness is about changing the past. Maybe you can only go back, though, if you go back with God. Nothing else. We're not strong enough on our own. We are too weak. We are too overwhelmed. Why? Because Egypt represents where everything went wrong. Egypt represents the past we can't change, the memories we can't erase, the things we wish we hadn't done. How did Moses feel when God told him to go back to Egypt, where he had grown up, where he had committed murder? Go back to Egypt, Moses. Tell old Pharaoh, let my people go. Speaking the truth to power. Yes, but not really in the way that we would think of it. He didn't go back to confront Pharaoh with his appalling human rights record. He didn't stand before him as a kind of Martin Luther King or a modern-day freedom fighter. He wasn't involved in a kind of political project in our terms at all. He was not particularly interested in changing Egyptian society. He just stood there and said, "Let my people go." And so the long story of the wandering people of God begins. Far into the future of that story lie the Jewish pogroms, the Holocaust, and it's the same kind of thing where a hated minority is persecuted and despised, the Rohingya, the Muslims of Kosovo a few years ago, the Coptic Christians in Egypt today. But all that is not really our focus. We are just focused on one thing this morning. We are just focused on when tongue-tied Moses and his brother Aaron went down to Egypt to confront the most powerful man in the world. They went armed with nothing more than their walking sticks and a stubborn belief in the God who said, "I am who I am," and they believed that that was the God who was greater, the greatest power. The story demonstrates that power, and eventually, we've skipped through it this morning for the sake of time, reluctantly, Pharaoh comes to see that his power is less than the power of God, all those plagues. It is one of just quite a number of similar stories in the Old Testament. Elijah and the prophets of Baal. Samson in his weakness, praying and overcoming the power of the Philistines. Joshua bringing down the walls of Jericho with nothing more than a trumpet and a few voices. Much later, Daniel in the lion's den. Stories where directly, in ways that we can see, the power of God overcomes the power of the world. But that's not our world, is it? Nor was it Moses' world either. At the point where he responded to the call to go down to Egypt and tell old Pharaoh, "Let my people go." At that point, we have this in common with Moses. A world of power ranged before him, his own weak nature, and a belief in the power of God that he couldn't see. That's what I'm interested in today. Not the plagues, not the spectacular signs, not the Hollywood-style chariot chases, not the parting of the seas, just this point. When a human being like you and me heard the call of God, "Go down, Moses, tell old Pharaoh, let my people go," and a human being trembled, and a human being believed. That's what the speaking to power, the truth to power, amounts to. It might mean for us confronting an evil, unjust dictator face to face. It might mean for us standing up for what we believe against the forces that are ranged against us. It might mean confronting those that hold us back. Confronting, going back to confront the powers that we have run from. Addictions, selfishness, prejudices. Whatever it means for us, the Old Testament moves away from stories like the story of Moses towards stories such as persecuted Jeremiah, Elijah hiding in fear of his life, Israel, exiled and washed up by the rivers of Babylon, the greatest power. Stories that still ring with the stubborn belief that the God who said, "I am who I am," is greater than all the powers of the world. Stories that reach their highest point for us, not in the Old Testament, but in the New. In the story of Jesus, who in the end speaks truth to all the powers of the world on the cross. Where those powers have done their worst, and still he believes that God is greater. Not that he is greater, that's the point, see. Moses doesn't think he's great, he's weak. Tongue-tied, scared half to death, but still he believes. Jesus? That is how it will always be for us if we respond to the call of God on our lives, to volunteer, to serve, to sacrifice ourselves, to enter the ministry even. We're no more than who we are. The powers of the world are ranged against us, and they will do us down if we let them. They will remind us of what we are and who we are. But in Paul's picture language, all we have to do is to put on the armor of God, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith. And in the economy of God, they will be for us like the staff of Moses, like the plagues, like the cross. So that we may stand, so that we may go, so that we may serve, not in our own strength, but in the strength of the Lord. And whether or no we succeed in the world's terms, we won't succeed in the world's terms. Or whether or no we will suffer at the world's hands, we may well suffer at the world's hands. Still we will go, still we will serve, still we will stand. And our lives, by nothing more than faith, will speak the truth to all the powers that are ranged against them. The truth of Christ, indeed. You won't be able to see, but will you go? Will you stand? Will you suffer? Will you serve? Then we will be raised together.